This morning, before I turn things over to Pastor Mike that I'm going to do in a minute, we did have one more group to pray for, and that is our School of Missions as they depart tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And just a commission, of course, we're so familiar, those of us that are part of Saving Grace and certainly have been in God's Word together, so familiar with this commission Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Or something that Jesus said earlier on and recorded by Matthew himself, and it's found in Matthew chapter 9, in verses 34 or 37 and 38, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And you know, the harvest, every time I go out to the harvest field, every time I go out to other areas of the world, you quickly recognize that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. What Jesus said just rings so true, and there are so many. We talk about the unreached, we talk about the 1040 window, we talk about 2 billion people on the planet Earth today. Never had the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus Christ for the first time. Think about that. Never had the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus Christ for the first time. How many times have you heard the Word of God? How many times in this country before you were a Christian did you hear the gospel? Did you have a opportunity, access to the gospel? And, they're just staggering statistics, but they're more than statistics. They're half of the world's population. They're human beings. And so our passion is to be a part of raising up those laborers. Jesus said, pray, and we've prayed, and you've been praying with me and for the School of Missions that God put into our hearts. He gave us a vision to start this, and we're here. Tomorrow it starts in Mexico. We're going to be leaving at 7:30 in the morning from the church here, and headed down. And so I wanted to introduce to you guys our students, and we wanted to pray for them as they are going out. So if I could have all of the Calvary School of Mission students come on up. Come on up, guys and gals. Yes, guy and gals, right? Yeah. Well, Tim's with you.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. So, and we put up that picture there, those two. So, 2 of them weren't able to join us, this is Brian. So, I've been teasing Jordan. He's not alone. Brian is going to be joining him as well. And Lily, who is from Acapulco, Mexico, she's going to be meeting us in Rosarito tomorrow. She's flying into Tijuana tomorrow and is going to be meeting us in a part of our team. We're very, very excited. Again, what is the Calvary School of Missions? It's a 6-week intensive mission school on the mission field. So it's not only being trained through the Word in missions, which we will be doing that, but it's also being trained up of what it is to be a missionary, being able to really hear about that, be able to see that, being out on outreach and doing all of the missions things, being a part of the Calvary Chapel church plants that have happened in Mexico. We are so blessed to be a part of just a real sweet work of God in Mexico. About 17 years ago, we sent Pastor Mike Vincent and his wife, Sarah, down to Mexico, and God has just blessed the ministry down there through their faithfulness, and they have planted 23 Calvary Chapels through Mexico, actually three bilingual churches in the United States they have planted from the church in Mexico. So we're going to be ministering alongside of their church, alongside of their church plants, and really be able to give all of these students a real vision of what missions is, how you do that, how you plant a church, and how that's birthed. And of course, they're going to be hearing from a lot of our missionaries. From pastors, but people that actually live it, and training them up and teaching them. So this is the first time we've ever done anything like this, and we're very, very excited. So Pastor Tim here is going to be leading the charge. Tim, say a few things, and then I'm just going to have the students introduce themselves, and then we're going to pray for them.
Yes. Well, good morning, everybody. We are very excited to be leaving tomorrow morning, and it's truly going to be an honor and a blessing to be able to serve with these young men and women. Really looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in and through us on this trip. Appreciate all your prayers and support. I shared this with First Service, and I'll share this with you all, and it was kind of an exhortation, I think, for all of us. Proverbs 3:5-6, that we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways we acknowledge him and he will direct our path. And that's what we're believing, that's what we're praying, that's what we're asking that you would pray, that we would set aside all our preconceived ideas, all our ways that we think we know how things are supposed to be, and that we would just be really open to what the Lord is leading and how he wants to just speak to us. So thank you. Yeah.
All right. Hi, I'm Jordan Skiles, and I'm from Northern California. I go to Calvary Chapel, The Rock. So I don't know where the Lord's calling me exactly. I just know it's to go to the unreached, and so I don't know where that's going to be. But I'm just praying that the Lord will continue to stir my heart and show me where he wants me to go and open those doors. So if you could just be praying for, I know all of us, the same thing, just the Lord would continue to stir our hearts and to give us direction on where he wants us to go. So if you could just be praying for me on that, that's what I need. So.
Amen. Okay. Hi, I'm Nancy. I've been coming here for a bit now. It's my home church, and I have a heart for East Africa, but I'm willing to go anywhere in the 1040 window, and just pray that I am submitted to God and what he has for me, and that I put any plans or anything in my mind aside, just to submit to him.
Hi, my name is Andrea. Like Nancy, I also have a huge heart and burden for East Africa, but I'm open to anywhere in the 1040 window, so if you could just pray for clarity in where God is leading me.
I'm Aaliyah. I'm from Canada, and I'm just praying for direction on where God wants me to go and where he's leading.
Amen. Hello, I'm Lacey Olson. I agree with what everybody else said. If you can pray for that for me as well, I'm open to just where God is leading, and if you can pray for my family's salvation, that would be great.
Hi, I'm Sienna, and I'm just really excited to be serving alongside my mother in the outreach, and I just pray that we can bless all those little kids in Mexico and preach them about the gospel.
Awesome. Hi, I'm Elaine, and Saving Grace is my home church, and I have the privilege to serve alongside Pastor Tim and the students. Just really, when they asked me, my heart, the Lord just spoke to my heart clearly to love the students and to just walk with them and to really just be someone that they could come to during this time and grow deeper with the Lord alongside with them. So super excited, super pumped.
Amen, amen, yeah. Well, now I'm pumped. All right, if you guys want to step forward and just going to ask the pastors and maybe the deacons and anyone that's got a heart that would like to come up and pray for them, come on up. You feel free. Come up. Just so excited. I say that a lot, but I really am. God has great things for you guys, okay? You bear the heart of Jesus because his heart is for the unreached. It is for the least, the lost, and the last. And, God just got a great thing for you. And this isn't a missions trip you're going on. This is a journey with Jesus, and we are going to seek his face. And I'm so excited to do that with you guys and just to know that he's going to just speak to you and he's going to do great things in your hearts. And he's got a calling on your life. His hand is on you and his anointing is there. And this church is praying for you and they love you. And I know that because I know them and they love you guys. And it's just a blessing to know you have people behind you, you know, and you know, as you're sharing, our hearts are for the 1040 window, the unreached, you know, that's what it's all about. And so we're just so, so excited. Amen. Oh, who should we pray? Who you want to pray, Mike? You want Michael pray? I mean, get some zeal going. Okay, let's go.
Lord, we set this group of individuals aside, and just ask for your blessing to be upon them, yes, Lord. Over the next 6 weeks, as they're just sitting aside time to seek your face, to pray, to study, to engage in missions, that you would speak clearly to them, confirm their calling. Lord, raise them up and mold them into the world changers you desire them to be. Lord, raise up missionaries, raise up church planters, raise up godly men and women to take the nations by storm.
Yes, God.
We pray for safety. We pray for all the details of this trip and everything, God, that you would just provide and lead the way. God, pray for Tim as he needs wisdom. To lead down there, and Elaine, and God, just go with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So you wish you could go, Michael, don't you? Yeah. All righty. Well, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Acts, we're going to do a survey of the whole book of Acts. No, just joking. Acts chapter 14, Paul comes to the end of his first missionary journey, and he comes back to his home church, and we just had a team of 39/38, sorry Joseph, love you, go out to Peru, and they've now come back, and it says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, and when they had gathered the church together and reported all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so this morning, I've asked, and some of you guys have requested that we would give an opportunity for them to give us an update. And so I've asked them to do that. So again, as Joel had said, this morning is very different. Of course, typically we're spending at least 50 minutes in a Bible study. But this is about all of the Bible studies we do. This is about what it means to know Jesus and love him. And wanted to give the youth and young adults the opportunity to share with you, which is, of course, scary for them. They're not like, hey, let's do that. They're like, we have to do that. But it's really important for us to be engaged in not just sending them, but receiving them back. And then kind of like, if you would, debriefing a little bit as a body this morning, just going, okay, so, you know, what's now the next steps as we've heard, and how can we continue to pray and just allow the Lord to do that. So I'm going to welcome up Pastor Mike, who led the team, and I just want to give Mike a public thank you that it was you and not me. Yeah. 38 people. God bless you, Mike.
Yep.
You tired?
I'm exhausted. I was saying first service, I can't feel the right side of my body, and just it was tiring. First, I want to say thank you, you know, to everybody that was engaged and sent this team. You know, we didn't go out by ourselves. There was a whole church body. There was friends, family, supporters, people that donated goods and all kinds of stuff for us to take down, and it was truly a blessing. It was a fun trip, for sure. And I was sharing first service, you know, I hold two hats at this church, get the privilege to serve in leading our missions, which is, you know, a lot of what we did here with the School of Missions. We prayed for Aaron and Jenna first service. They're on their way to South Asia, and Bond and Heather were here, And our passion, our heart is the Great Commission, you know, being obedient to what the Bible says. And we go and we plant churches, we start Bible colleges with the goal of raising up nationals, then to send them out to do the same, to plant churches, start schools, and send others out and go farther where, you know, where our passports won't be able to take us. Now, the other hat is I get to serve as the high school pastor, youth pastor here at Saving Grace, and love hanging out with these teenagers. And, you know, they are exceptional. They are phenomenal in every way. They exceed expectations always. You know, God has created them not as the leaders of the future, not as something that, well, one day when you grow up, you could do great things for God, but they were created to do great things for God now. And I get the privilege of watching them step up and just lead, you know, in better and unique ways. They're goofballs, you know, they're flaky, they're all those things, but hey, so are the adults. You know, and, you know, watching them struggle, watching them, you know, just exhausted, struggling with the food, the hatred that came over their eyes when they found out that they were chewing on cow heart, and then they realized it was delicious. You know, it was such a joy for me to see. You know, and one of my passions in leading the youth here is to provide them with just, in the 4 years that they're here in high school and all that, to provide them with opportunities to go serve and do missions. And it's not because it's something we want to get out of their system. You know, it's not because, well, they're young, they have time, they have the summers off. But it's because we desire to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. You know, we desire to create young men and women who are going to grow into adults that are lit for Jesus Christ, that have a vision for the nation, that have a vision beyond just the American dream, a vision beyond just, well, I'm going to go to college and get a good job and do the church thing on Sunday mornings, you know, but a vision for the nations, a vision for the gospel, you know, that's our heart. And so every summer and winters, and we just try to do missions and get them out there to meet other people. And we were sharing on the team how, you know, one of the hard things about missions is when you go and you meet these people, you actually leave a piece of your heart there. You know, all of the Peru people that went, they made friends. You know, they're no longer faces on a overhead, you know, pictures, and they're friends. They played volleyball with, they did tug of war with, and you know, they've left a piece of them, their heart there. And it's hard, but that's such good character building. And in our training, we had what we called the master schedule, right, that we were kind of developing. We had months and months of training leading up to the trip, and we would add to the schedule. And I remember I asked Craig, you know, when we got out, I said, hey, can you put some times, you know, on the various events, like what time it's going to start? And Craig kind of laughed. He goes, well, I can, but it's not going to mean anything. And I laughed. I go, Craig, I know you're talking to, but it's for the other, you know, Americans on the trip. It just makes them feel better. Like, no, we have a schedule. And I pounded into our team, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. This is the master schedule, and it will change. I could promise you, I could guarantee you it will change. I remember one story, I forget who it was, somebody talking to Pastor Craig, and they were like, okay, well, what time does children's ministry start? And he goes, well, when worship's over. And I'm watching this conflict, this clash of cultures going down right here. And the person goes, well, no, like, what time is that? And he goes, well, when the worship's over. And I was laughing because Craig wasn't going to give this person a time because, well, we don't know. You know, and church ended up starting a half an hour late that day. And it was awesome. And this trip, more than, you know, any other trip I've been on, the idea of blessed are the flexible has never been more relevant, right? It's everything changed. I mean, we went down there with an idea of doing outreach. You know, when we do short-term teams, we come alongside our church plants, our sisters, and we come to lift up their arms and to be a blessing to them. And so we went down there with a vision to do outreach, to try to get people, you know, to come to Calvary Huacho and stuff. So we're going to hit the streets and do volleyball outreaches, soccer outreaches. And we got there and we quickly realized that was not what the Lord had for us. And everything changed, and they scheduled exams, school exams, right at the time our team landed. And so we have all these supplies to do children's ministry stuff and everything, and no children show up because they're all prepping for exams, and they had some big Independence Day parade thing they needed to prep for. So it was like everything changed, and the Lord kind of put on my heart, no, we're here not necessarily for outreach, but for inreach. To minister to those few individuals that are serving there at Calvary Huacho and to love on them. And then we came with just a mountain of supplies to stock their children's ministry and everything else for a long time to come. And so such an amazing time. And we asked a few of our individuals to come up and share and kind of just, you know, give a little tiny sliver, you know, what Pastor Trent had said, you know, he's quoting Acts that, you know, they reported all that God has done. You're not going to get that today because there's 38 of us that went down and God did a ton of stuff. And we're just going to highlight a few key points here. And so first, we're going to have Andrew come on up. So the first night we did a Main Plaza outreach, and that was like the only event that went down as we planned it to go down. So, well, yeah, not completely as planned, which you'll let us know. So,
all right, I'm Andrew. I had the opportunity to go with the Peru team on a missions trip, and I've been to places like Belize and Mexico before, but this was an entirely different experience because, like Mike said, it wasn't all about outreach. It was about inreach as well and connecting with the members of the church that were there. Now, towards the beginning of the trip, we're all making it to the airport. We find out that one of our members couldn't make it, sadly. But, I mean, the team was devastated, but there was work to do, so we had to adapt. And the responsibility fell to me to do the message in the park. And I was talking to Daniel, which is a pastor at Calvary Chapel Fullerton, and he was asking me, like, what I have planned or what I have ready. And he's like, or what he told me was, you need to focus on the main three things. Those being, one, that sin is a problem that needs to be fixed. Two was that Jesus is the solution to this problem. And three, to offer to the audience what the gift of Jesus Christ. So I got that run through my mind. I'm, like, planning it in my notes on my phone. And I'm, like, putting it in, and then we get to the park, we do worship, we start the actual outreach, and then Craig Tippy comes to me and says, hey, just keep it simple, make it something that they can understand and connect to. I'm like, okay, so I make some modifications to my plan, and then it comes time for me to speak, and not everything goes according to plan, but that's okay, because in the back of my mind, I hear Mike echoing, blessed are the flexible. So I give the gospel message, and I keep those three things in mind because I knew, like, anything else I wrote wasn't as important. But the way I like to frame it is I like to frame sin as a debt that cannot be paid. Every time we sin, it builds up the debt, and no amount of works can pay that debt. So towards the end of it, I finished up, and I offered the gift, and I was, like, in the back of my mind thinking, I did not do that well. Like, this was not a good message. I botched it. And then the first guy stepped forward, and I was like, everything was worth it. Like, at that point, I didn't care how I did, so long as someone can get saved from it. I was thankful for that. And then a couple kids stepped forward, two women stepped forward, and another man stepped forward in that time. And then I prayed over them, and Craig went with them individually and prayed with them. And it was just amazing to see, because it's like, my mouth was moving, but it was God that was talking. So, I mean, I'm just thankful for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it. I'm just thankful for all the support I've received and all the supplies we had. It's just amazing to have all of you backing us up.
One of the tendencies that happens when you bring a group of Americans down to anywhere is you just have this huge divide because you don't speak the same language. And so what naturally happens is all the Peruvian or Spanish speakers are on one side of the room, all the Americans are on the other side of the room, and you have to bridge that gap. You know, and we watch the Lord do that. So David and Nathaniel, come on up. And they're going to talk to us about bridging that gap.
Hi, I'm David. Hi, David. Hi. So something Joel told me that was really cool. He said, this was just before this morning, he said that the same Holy Spirit that was living in me is living in them. And when he told me that, I was like, oh, that's so sick. And so, like, when we got there, like, we met the kids, and there was, like, an immediate connection with them, like, right away. Like, you could tell, like, it was going to be fun and stuff. So then the second day we were there, me and Nathaniel, my little brother, and a couple of the nationals, we went to the beach, and I don't speak a lick of Spanish whatsoever. The only thing I know how to say is yo soy quesadilla, which is I'm a quesadilla. And they thought it was really funny for some reason, so I just kept on saying it. And they didn't speak any English, so, like, it was really hard to communicate. But I taught them a saying called the Yabil, and it was just, like, something me and my friends say. We just mess around. So that was literally the only way we could communicate. It was just, like, Yabil, and, like, we just say it back and forth. Like, we were out in the water. There's a good way. We'd be like, Yabil, or, like, it was a bad way. Like, Nabil, and it was just, like, that was it. So that was really fun. And then also, a couple days later, I was playing electric guitar, just sitting up on the stage, and this guy named Pedro, who plays the drums, he just walks up, and he just, like, started playing, and we sat there for, like, at least an hour, and we were just jamming. Like, we didn't say a word at all, because he didn't speak any English at all. He was probably, like, the worst out of everybody. And, like, but, like, during that time, like, we would just, like, give each other, like, looks, like, oh, this is so sick, and you just, like, see the joy in his face, and, yeah, it was super sick.
Yeah, so David kind of took what I was going to say, but so I just thought it was super, super cool that we could connect through surfing. I've been surfing for a little while now, and I never really knew what God was going to use that for, and it totally just connected me with, like, a bunch of the kids out there, and we just had such a blast, and the connection was amazing. And so I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, even though you don't know if it's going to be used for God, it totally can be, and that's what I learned this trip.
Yeah, so a few days into the trip, we took about a two-hour bus ride up to just nowhere on the beach. And we did a two-day beach camping trip, and for the adults, it was amazing. Just every single minute of it was awesome, having sand everywhere. And we had a lot of fun. And so the guys got to connect with, you know, with the Peruvian nationals there. And so Erin coming up, and she's going to kind of talk about how, just everything changed.
Awesome. Well, first of all, I want to stop and just say thank you to our church body, everyone who stepped in to help us personally, not only the ministry with the awesome tents and supplies. You'll see in the slideshow that we have that there's a pan of all the tents, and that's not even all of them. Like, exceedingly abundantly, God used our church body, used you guys to bless the ministry there. But also personally, with Mike and I, leaving and leading the team, we left our two daughters back at home, and I felt so blessed and confident that our church body just stepped in to love them like their own, and it brought so much peace and for us to not have to worry about them, you know. So just a heartfelt thank you to everyone who loved them, gave them meals, took them to the park, whatever it was. So thank you for that. One of the things I wanted to share, I've had a lot of things that I could share, but specifically, the boys that just came up, they had a common ground that a lot of the other kids didn't. Not everyone was a surfer, a skater, or whatever, you know. But we were there to just connect with the church body there and hear their stories and everything. So while we were at the beach camping trip, I strongly exhorted, kind of forced some of the kids, gals, some gals to go and find someone that was Peruvian and get their testimony. Same for the guys, you know, because not everyone can connect over those things. So they were challenged to pick someone to find ask their testimony and find a translator, because we weren't going to do it for them. They were going to figure out how to communicate and hear their story and be encouraged by them. And I think you guys were pretty blessed by being able to hear their story and kind of broke down the walls some more, because we all, you know, need to find ways to connect with people even when we don't have everything in common. So, yeah. Anyway, you'll see a lot of the stories are going to be reflected in the slideshow, and I think you guys will be really blessed.
Amen. Yeah, you know, part of it is when you bridge that gap, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to go up to somebody you don't speak the same language, you don't have the same culture, and you have to step out of your comfort zone, and it's just so much fun. Forcing, you know, get out of the nest, right? And pushing them into service and into connecting. So Nicole, coming up, you know, Nicole, she was commissioned with, you know, Nicole is like children's ministry leader extraordinaire. She's amazing, and she was commissioned with kind of taking the lead with a few of the other ladies of all things kind of children's ministry, VBS, on this trip, and everything changed. No kids showed up because they were all gone doing testing and stuff. So, Nicole, how was that for you?
It was very unplanned. Okay, so we spent like more than 2 months planning. The word plan is just not a good word for it. But we spent a long time trying to prepare for something that we thought that the Lord was leading us to do. And we definitely were seeking the Lord, and we were praying, and we were just asking, and Lord, what do you want to communicate? And we would just take those things, like we felt like he was surely telling us that he cares, that he has this incredible deep care for these kids in Peru. And so we wanted to take that and go and tell them. And so we came up with these lessons and crafts and games that were all going to point them back to the one that cared for them, cares for them more than anyone else in the world. And so came up with this idea of that he knows them intimately, and that he made them in their mother's womb, and that he thinks about them more than the sand and the seashore, and that he wants them more than anyone else, and that he loves them so incredibly. And so we took that and we thought, oh, this is great, we're going to run with this. And so for many months we planned, and we did errands, and we had meetings, and it was all very wonderful. And so we left here with many, many ministry bags, and then after a few days we realized that wasn't going to happen. And so I started to get discouraged, because here we are with these giant full bags, and I thought, no one's going to enjoy our things, and we brought all of these things, and we've worked so hard, and you know, maybe the church has come alongside us for things that maybe I was making up in my own imagination. And in the midst of that discouragement, Pastor Craig came to me and said, so our children's ministry leader just left, and I want you to go and meet with the children's ministry teachers, and I want you to talk to them and share your heart. And so in that, I was able to kind of just tell them that, you know, in all things we need to seek the Lord first, and that everything in the Bible points to Jesus, so we need to make sure that we're directing the kids back to Jesus every single time, and that gives us the opportunity to share the gospel every single time, and that these are God's lambs, and that out of our love for the Lord, we need to feed his lambs. And so in addition to all of that, we actually had the opportunity to use some of the tools that we brought down there and model them for the teachers later on in the trip and be in the classroom with them. But while we were still at the beach, and I was feeling discouraged and moping around and being that song, I Will Not Be Shaken, I was shaken. And I was so embarrassed about it, because I fully told the team, like, this could all go out the window, we're going to be okay. And then I was the one that was not okay. So But as we're sitting for one of these morning devotionals, and I'm hearing Pastor John Boleto tell these Peruvian 20-something-year-old kids, God cares for you, and he loves you, and he wants you, and he's your father, and there's nothing that you can do that will make him not love you. And I realized that these were the kids that I felt like God wanted to share this with, and that vision was not for necessarily for the littlest ones, but also for these kids of his too. And so we were able to leave all of these awesome ministry things that you guys helped supply, and we have given them hooks. So as they are going out as fishers of men, they have new hooks to go fish. And as kids come into the church, the children's ministry teachers have new things that they can present to the kids to teach them the gospel. And so it was a totally different idea that God had, and God fully taught me a new level of understanding his sovereignty. But it was really awesome, and thank you guys for helping us to do that.
You know, as we were planning this trip, we went down there, the pastors, we went down in January, and we met with Craig, and he was talking about how it would be cool if we can get tents, because they like to do these surf camps all the time, and you know, he's like, we usually get 30, 40 kids out, and it's just funny because there was no kids out, and you know, just what it was. And so we're like, okay, cool, let's do a tent drive, and then we had all of our supply lists, and we had 30 tents donated. We had almost $2,000 worth of supplies and crafts and paints and glue and all those things donated. And that is just absolutely amazing. And we didn't get to use a lot of it because the Lord completely changed everything, but we were able now to go to this, you know, Calvary Chapel Huacho, which is a little church, kind of a youth church, and just completely fill their supply cupboards with all these things. They now have 30 tents to go take kids out on these surf camps and such a, you know, so the Lord had something in that. We weren't the ones to use these things, but they are going to be used. We were the ones that God had as just the transporter of these goods. You know, down there, we smuggled them in. And so, you know, the Lord was in it. And one of the cool stories of this, there was a young man named, you said it differently, Eric. Yeah, he's Venezuelan. The first night when we were in the main plaza, there was a group of young men kind of standing off to the side, and Pastor Craig beelined it over and started talking to them. And one of the young men's named Eric, he just kind of became part of our team. And he phased in, and he was from Venezuela. He kind of fled and came to Peru. And he ended up getting born again during our trip down there, and just became part of our team. Didn't speak a lick of English. But just a very, very sweet guy. And one of our team members, Jacob, come on up, really got to form a special connection and relationship with him. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I met an awesome man named, his name's Eric. So we thought his name was Eddie at first because he had a really strong accent, but his name's Eric. And he saw us pouring our hearts out at the Plaza Outreach and had he grabbed one of the volleyball flyers. And then the next day we had the volleyball tournament and he was on my team. And then afterwards I just see him in the corner of like the stands just sitting by himself. So I just head over there and I'm just sitting next to him. And I don't have anything to say because I know he can't understand me. So I just smile at him for a little bit. And then I thought, why don't I just pull up my phone and try to like talk to him over that with a translating app or something. So I did that for a little bit, and it was crazy to see what he was saying over it. I didn't believe it because, like, the words, he was just saying, like, I want to be, like, a steward of God. I want to get to know God better, and it was just so surprising to me to see that from, I just didn't expect that at all. And I asked Pastor Craig to come over and talk to him for a little bit, too, and it was awesome to see the bond they were forming. And the next day after that, around the next day, he was just serving lunch to us at the church, which was crazy. and he had planned to go to the beach trip with us as well. So he was just following us throughout the whole trip, which was amazing. And I was just praying over and over that he would accept God, because at the end of like the day, we would ask people if they wanted to come into the kingdom of God. And he hadn't done it so far until the soccer trip, which was the soccer tournament we had, which was like one of the last events we had planned. And I was just praying and praying. At the end of it, when we asked him, when we asked people if they wanted to come up, I just looked over to him, and then his friend was looking at him and just rubbing his back, and then he walked up to accept God, and it was pretty amazing just to see God work in someone's heart like that. And I was just like just watching it. It was awesome to see. And I just wanted to thank everyone for their prayers and blessings. And if I could just ask for one thing, it would be to pray for the Church of Washoe, because as we leave, they have so many new members there, and I just want them to grow the relationship closer with God. So that's all I have to say.
Awesome, Debbie. Why don't you come on up? So we were able to go to the surf camp, which Debbie loved every minute of it, the whole time. You know, things in other countries don't often go as planned, like we've been saying. And one of the fun things was the day we were going to get picked up from the beach, Debbie and Chris, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Debbie and Christina were able to escape on a smaller van that went out, and you were the only two of our team members that were able to escape. The rest of us got stranded on the beach for about 4 hours. Middle of nowhere, no bathrooms, no nothing. You know, we had, like, snacks that were devoured in, like, 4 minutes. I'm like, guys, if we're, worst survival experts ever, like, you want to ration these a little bit? And it was snack carnage, just wrappers flying everywhere. And, you know, because Peru was, there was a soccer game going on, and our bus driver, he wanted to watch the soccer game, then come pick us up. And that's just the way it goes. And so there was a fun, cool story that happened in the midst of that.
So Eric, who just got saved a couple days before this event, and I believe a couple of people from our team actually sponsored him to come on the beach trip, came to the beach trip with us and was just showing himself to be faithful. So Craig commissioned him when all the bags and extra snacks were put onto that truck, right? The truck at the beginning. Everything was loaded. All the food, everything was taken on this truck. So Craig says, hey, Eric, go with the truck. The truck driver's not a Christian, and I just want to make sure everything stays safe, that it's still there, that nothing gets stolen, that it's put where it's supposed to be put, blah, blah, blah. So Eric goes with him. Of course, that means all their supplies were gone, too. So the truck goes. Now, it's an hour and a half drive to get back to where the storage unit is, and they waited 4 hours. And then remember, this guy is Venezuelan. He's a survivor, meaning he's just come in to the country of Peru and just trying to survive. He could have easily stolen stuff, taken stuff, and just never seen the guy again. But he told the truck driver, the truck driver's like, no, I just want to unload everything right here and just dump it on the ground, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no. Craig's commissioned me to stay with these bags, and I'm going to stay with these bags. And the guy kept like wanting to be flaky, and so it worked. This guy, Eric, was completely faithful. And so we were talking about this, and I go, I think there's a story in the Bible about like these people who actually stayed with the bags. And so Joel Garcia looked it up, and he's like, well, there is. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And so David goes to war against the Amalekites. And there's a couple hundred guys that didn't actually go to war with him, but they stayed back and watched the stuff. And so when he gets back, they were separating the spoil, and a couple of the wicked guys said, no, you can't have any of the spoil, you know. And David says, no, it's just as important for them, what they did, they stayed with the stuff, than it was for those who went out to battles. And this is how it reads in 1 Samuel chapter 30. For as his share is who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. And he made it a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day. So Eric was like obedient to the word of God by staying with the baggage, and he gets the same fruit as everybody else. Amen. That's pretty cool.
You know, and all of us that are on the beach, we have no idea what's going on you know, the truck driver just, he took off, and he had a little storage thing there in Wacho somewhere, and he had another job to go through, so he's just unloading everything in his storage, and, you know, Eric's just stayed there with the bags, you know, just proved himself to be faithful, just a cool little nugget in the midst of just absolute chaos. And so there are just tons more stories that we could share, but we're not going to. And so real quick, just to embarrass everybody, if you were on the Peru trip, can you stand up? Awesome. Yeah, so there was 38 of us. I mean, you still count. Yeah, absolutely you count, right? All right, you guys can have a seat. We put together a short video, and the slides go pretty quick because we just tried to jam everything into it. And so kind of put some context, some visual context for a lot of the things that we talked about here. So let's go ahead and roll that.
Wow, that was amazing, so encouraging, and thank you guys for sharing with us this morning, and just I know that's out of many of your comfort zones to get up here and look out at all these people and you know, share, but we just love you, and we are just so excited about the youth in our church, and do believe God has a great calling upon their lives, and we want to invest into them, and so that's something that we as a body really believe in. And so thank you for leading the charge, and you guys are a great example to many of the adults that I'm trying to get just to go to Mexico for a few days. You know, so what a great example. And adults, let's go. Come on. The kids are, they're leaving us in the dust. And, you know, missions, just think about it. We're going to, you know, move towards communion here and just kind of ready our hearts for that. And I, you know, wanted to read from us of the main passage in the Bible that's found in the you know, epistles about communion. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. It starts where Paul says, "For I received from the Lord Jesus Christ that which I also delivered to you." So Paul's saying, this is what the Lord showed me. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then listen to what he says. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And you know, missions is about going out and manifesting to the world the love of Jesus. This is what Jesus did in his mission. When Jesus came to this earth, he had a mission. And that mission that Jesus had was a mission to manifest the heart of the Father. John tells us in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 18 that no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom or the heart of the Father has declared him to us. Jesus' mission was the declaration of the heart and the love of the Father. And this is, as we take communion, it says we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. There is a proclamation in what we're doing this morning. I don't know, we don't always connect that. We don't always see that. But I want you to think about it with me, that the mission of Jesus was to bring everlasting life to the world. But in that mission, Jesus declares to us in John chapter 17, in verse 3, he says, "For this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life, to know God, to know the Lord. We know the Lord, we know the Father through the Son. Jesus, when he prayed in John 17, it's what we call the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And Jesus prays in John 17, and when he prays there, he prays that we would be one, that is you and me, as the Father and the Son are one. So we would all be one together. This idea of the unity of the body. When we come to take communion this morning, we, you know, here it says, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which was broken for you." Of course, the way we do communion is we have the bread all broken up for you. The guys broke it up this morning, but it was once one, and it's been broken. That Jesus is saying, "Off of me, I will break pieces off. I will give them to you. You will then eat them and digest them, and you and I will be one." And that was the, by the way, the cultural idea of partaking with in a meal with someone. Always when you partook in a meal, it was speaking of a fellowship, an intimacy, and a oneness, that we're friends. You would never eat with an enemy. Never. You would eat with someone you agreed with. It was the right hand of fellowship. What Jesus is saying is that when you partake of me, you become one with me, but you also become one with one another. We are the light of the world. We are the body of Christ. Now in John 17, Jesus goes on in that next verse, in verse 4, to say that I have finished the work that you have given me to do. So now, Father, I have finished it. Jesus is saying, I've fulfilled the commission to come and manifest the heart of God to the world. When you go on in John chapter 17, Jesus says, I pray for these that you have given me out of the world. I do not pray that you'd take them from the world, but that you would keep them in your name while they're in the world. And then he goes on to pray for them that they would go out and you would send them out as you have sent me. As you come on to John chapter 21, or chapter 20, in verse 21, Jesus gives the commission there. It's the great commission of John's account. It's a little different than the Matthew, Mark, and Luke commission, where it's go make disciples, you know, preach the gospel, to every creature. But there in John chapter 20, verse 21, he says, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. Okay, so if you follow the theme that John has, is that God sent him to reveal the heart of God to the world, that Jesus prays then that they would go out as he was sent, that they would be sent out, and the Holy Spirit was going to come and send them. And Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. What you recognize is that missions is directly connected to relationship with the Father. See, Jesus' relationship with the Father was that which was manifested to the world, which we call missions. Our relationship, as we're to be sent like he was, our relationship with the Father is key in our ability to be a witness of him. Now, of course, over the doors of our church as you depart, it says, now entering your mission field. Just a simple reminder every week that now we're going back to that place that's our mission field, wherever that might be. And of course, we have to bring the gospel to the world, and we have to bring the gospel to other countries, but you can't forget yours. Wouldn't it be a tragedy that we've reached the world? We've reached, you know, Asia, and we've reached Africa, and we reached the Middle East, but we have neglected to reach our own family, our own neighbors. That doesn't mean we're going to save them, but we're going to manifest the love of God to them through our lives. And as we partake this morning of communion together, I want us to be reminded of that very fact, that the only way you and I are going to be a witness of the love of the Father is because of the salvation we've experienced, because of the forgiveness we have, which of course is the bread and the cup representing. But God has changed us. God has saved us. God has forgiven us because he loves us. You realize the evidence of the love of God all through the Bible is declared in the death of Jesus Christ. Look, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The evidence that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the evidence. And I could give you more verses that just declare that he loves you. And how do I know? He died. It's his love. It's the what happened through the death, the forgiveness, the cleansing work that has taken place in our lives. And so as we partake this morning of communion, as Paul goes on in this passage to tell us where to reflect, where to examine our own hearts and our own selves. And this morning, I just want to encourage you, as you and I come to the table together and we partake as a body, that we're one first and foremost. But we're one in what? We're not all one in personality. We're not all one in necessarily the way we necessarily think. We are one because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We're one family. We're one body. And our oneness is found at the cross. That's the only place it's found. You know, that's the only place we find our oneness. You know, my Clipper friends, we're not one right now. Okay? Those of you know what that means, that are Clipper fans. But we are one. We are one. Yes, Tony and I, we still have fellowship. Because of Jesus. He's just so much bigger than anything else in life. Anything. And there's a sweetness there. And our relationship with the Lord is going to be manifested to the world. And so there is no mission, there is no witness without relationship. And so as we focus on that relationship this morning, you know, a lot of times we're focused on what we need to do, right? We're going to go, we're going to share. All those things are important. Relationship. It's Jesus. How's your relationship today? How are you doing with the Lord? You know he loves you. You know he's forgiven you. It's time right now to examine that. It's time to confess those sins. And it's time to let him cleanse us. Let him heal those areas. Communion's going to be passed out in a second. We're going to do some worship. Worship isn't a fill-in so we can get the communion to you. It's a time to say, okay, God, here we are. And as we do, we'll pass out the communion. Time for you to sit and time for you to reflect, time for you to confess your sins. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with the Lord. You're not a believer. The Bible says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's available to you this morning. We have a prayer room that is right directly across the way, right out of these main doors. And why the church is partaking in communion, we want to invite you if you don't know Christ. We want you to know that he died for your sins. Whatever sin that might be, he's cleansed you of that sin. If you'd but turn to him, repent of that sin. We'd like to talk to you more about that. We'd like to help you do that, to come into a right relationship with God. We'd love to pray for you. Communion is only for believers. It's only for those that know the Lord. In fact, if you read on in this passage, it says that if you eat and drink the communion in an unworthy manner, you eat and drink judgment to yourself. And in fact, Paul goes on to say that this is why some are sick and even dying among you, because they're treating the cross as a common thing. We ought not to be afraid of communion, like, oh no, if I'm going to eat it in the wrong way, what's the formula? But it's the position of the heart that says the cross is everything to me. If the cross isn't everything to you, if the concept of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for your sins isn't everything to you, then you're going to eat today, you're going to drink today in an unworthy manner. Don't do that. But if it's everything to you, it's there where you put your flag and say, this is how I'm saved, and this is the only way I can know God, then it means everything to you. And we're going to come and just be reminded. See, the bread and the cup is just a reminder of what God has already done. It's just a reminder that Jesus does love you. It's a reminder that you can be cleansed and you can be forgiven. And so I want to invite up the worship team now. And I'm going to invite up the brothers. They're going to help me pass out the elements this morning. We're going to pray, and then we're going to begin some worship, and we're going to pass out the bread and the cup to you guys. Looking forward to just what God wants to speak to our hearts as we wait upon him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your grace, and we ask, God, whatever it might be in our hearts, whatever's going on, Lord, we confess it. We ask you to cleanse us. We'd ask you to purify us. Bless you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Bless, Father, this time of reflection and prayer and meditation. And Lord, looking to the cross together as your church. Heal any differences we might have, any divisions, any hurts. Make us one in you. Father, we thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name.